This episode of The Testing Show is sponsored by Qualitest. Deploy software that you and your customers trust with Qualitest testing and business assurance services. Learn more about Qualitest at qualitestgroup.com.
Welcome to The Testing Show. I'm your host, Matt Hoiser. Today we have Michael Larson from SocialText.
Hello from San Francisco.
Justin Werman.
Hey there, good morning.
And Yaron Cutler, the CEO of Qualitest USA. Welcome to the show, Yaron.
Thanks. Great to be here.
I know you're a busy guy. We really appreciate it. So let's get started. The first issue I wanted to discuss, I think it's the big news for the tester world. It's not really a surprise, but Yahoo recently eliminated their traditional tester role in a big article by IEEE Spectrum. They announced it publicly. So what do you think of that?
So I was reading through this article. They didn't actually get rid of testing. They just got rid of the tester role and the bad testing that was happening in the organization. Is that right?
That looks to be my read on it. It's not so much that testing has gone away. They've decided instead to have the development team or the programmers be responsible for quality up front, whether or not they do it with automation or they're doing the testing themselves or they trade off the role. Testing is still happening. They just don't have a separate and distinct test team doing the job any longer.
It's really not clear to me because they have some testers have been allowed to keep their roles, but now they are doing automation. That's what the article says.
Are these like developers and tests? They're basically writing test infrastructure, tooling, frameworks, stuff like that?
I think that is the case. Maybe we need to get someone from Yahoo on the show. We were talking about, before we hit record, and Yaron pointed out that the context-driven testing school likes to separate testing and checking. So risk management is still happening, but I'm not quite sure how that risk management has shifted. Clearly, there are some people writing tools like Selenium that will run on every build. They're doing continuous deployment. The customers can tell them if there are problems. And I'm sure there are people saying, I wonder what happens if I click this. But it's really not clear to me how much testing is happening and where.
If you have these automation frameworks, then I think it's that they just can't exist without people testing before and after. I mean, to even have an automated test run, you have to have run through the product yourself. Well, ideally, you've run through the product yourself and seen for yourself how it works or does not work. And then on the back end, if something fails, you're going to be stepping through that same product area to investigate. So there's always testing on the front and back end of these automated test performances or whatever you want to call them.
I don't think anybody is talking about no testing. As Matt pointed out, they're talking about eliminating the dedicated independent testing role, forcing everybody to take much more responsibility for what they do, at least at a team level. Having worked with a lot of different organizations that are going through the same sort of migration into the so-called DevOps, continuous build, continuous release, continuous test model, it is indeed much more automated checking. It is much more end-to-end user acceptance. It is much more risk management, as well as testers becoming much more involved in surrounding activities like release management, change management, data management, and so on.
That's been my experience. As we've been working with SocialText, SocialText has been moving to more releases, has been shifting the way that it has tested. We do still do certainly a lot of exploratory testing. We still do a lot of what would be classic quality assurance software testing role work. But in addition to that, as much more of the stuff has become automated, as much more of the stuff has become part of the general flow of getting a release out, we have migrated into doing different things. In addition to being a software tester, I'm the release manager, and a fair chunk of my time is spent going through and making sure that the deployment of our software is clean and makes sense. Actually, I test that a fair amount more than it seems I do the software side.
You make an interesting point there at the end. SocialText has a test team with more than one person on it, but I think the value of testing is often unclear. Testing is that thing we have to do so we can get to production. And as soon as it's just another step in the process that we don't understand, then you get How can we do it as cheaply as possible? How can we do it as quickly as possible? Let's outsource it. Let's offshore it. There's no value in it. Ideally, we shouldn't have to do it kind of thinking. Eventually, your team goes away. I have mixed feelings about that. Like, I can totally see how testers, technical staff that aren't primarily production coders, need to stay relevant, and that job is going to change over time. But part of me says traditional activities are less relevant, less valuable, and part of me thinks that we haven't done a good job of explaining the value we bring, and in some cases, the organizations aren't doing a good job. Reading the Yahoo piece, the work those testers were doing seemed like something out of the middle 80s. They were creating manual test scripts and maintaining them and running them as part of a large batch regression testing phase that happened at the end that took more than a month to deploy any change. Is it just me or does that seem silly?
I would say that Yahoo is not the first organization to make that transition. Definitely not in Silicon Valley. This started 5 to 10 years ago. Facebook, Google, they've been doing this sort of thing for a year. And I can tell you for a fact, working with both organizations, there's still a lot of testing going on there. And there are still a lot of dedicated testers. It doesn't mean that all phases in the product or all phases in the development lifecycle have them. But a lot of testing is still going on and a lot of independent testers still exist. It is in many cases a question of elements like product maturity, how critical the product is, and probably most importantly, how good, mature, and well communicating is the testing organization to be able to demonstrate the value that you're talking about.
It's more shocking to me an organization like Microsoft that recently eliminated the tester software development engineer in test and said, we're going to do concurrent engineering, because a lot of those estets were doing a lot of more valuable things. I guess Microsoft is so big, it doesn't matter. But your greater point that testing as a separate and distinct role has moved to a place where we bring them on certain projects when we need them, when we can add value. I think that's more of a shift in some of these cutting edge companies. There certainly are internal projects where you're creating a report where you can do just fine on your own. So then the tester, they're going to have to be a lot better. There's going to be less of them. Like right now, I'm on a project where I got a 1 hour brief in. Here's how to use the tools and go. And I don't know that all testers can do that.
I don't think that all domains enable you to do that. There is a sense of understanding the business context. And I would probably say that any sort of product that a company like Yahoo, Facebook, Google develop is probably easier to understand than a company that, say, generates complicated statistical models that drive early stage identification of cancer in certain types of images, for example. Not exactly something you can get a 1 hour overview and jump into, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. And the project that I was talking about was e-commerce retail, and you couldn't just fire someone off the street, even if they had testing skills, and have them jump into that. The pixel placement of a bullet point was something that I spent half an hour on yesterday, because conversions matter. And it was actually working in IE10, and it was off by about 7 pixels in IE11. There are plenty of contexts where that just, who cares? Whatever. It's not a bug. Figuring out whether or not it's a bug and who to talk to. Yeah, I think you make a strong point there. Domain expertise is something I think we tend to ignore. Any good tester can jump from any project to any project, and that's not really true.
Yes, there are certain testing skills, and having the ability of knowing how to utilize those and be able to pivot from one opportunity to another is important. I used to believe that a tester could test anything. And then I went to work for a company that did capacitance technology using human body model measurements for movement. The electricity inside of your body actually drives that. Now, how are you going to test that in a realistic way, especially, say, 10, 15 years ago when this was still being pioneered? I had that experience of having to discover how much domain knowledge I had to learn to be effective in that role. And in some ways, I ultimately struggled with it. I moved on to do other things, such as doing software testing for immigration law.
How long did it actually take you to learn these domains and start being effective? There's this guy named Harry Collins. He wrote several books, but one of them was called Rethinking Expertise, where he models how we come to have some amount of expertise in a particular field. One of the premises in the book is that through total immersion in a field, you can get good enough pretty fast, on the term of a couple months in most domains. That might not be true if you're looking at NASA or trying to figure out the physics of a laser, but for most of us, that's just not what we're doing.
Absolutely. And Rethinking Expertise, fantastic book. There is a certain amount of knowledge that anybody can pick up. They refer to it as beer mat knowledge, trivia, stuff that you can use so that you can, you have a general understanding of how something works and you can talk about it with half a brain. Many of us can get to that level fairly quickly. Can you be really effective in areas that are deeper or that require a little bit more analysis? I'm going to say that's probably going to take more time, may not take a tremendous amount of time, but it's definitely going to be more involved than just quickly looking at something and saying, yeah, I think that looks good.
Yeah, and to be clear, when I said earlier that we tend to discount expertise and think that a tester can jump in, I don't like that rhetoric. I think that's not right. Testers tend to use that language, oh, it's pretty easy, you can pick it up pretty quick. I have mixed feelings about that. As you mentioned, there are some contexts where that matters more than another. Certainly learning to learn is sort of a meta skill that can be valuable.
Perhaps it would be worth also thinking about what sort of culture gets to a point where testers are considered blockers, bottlenecks, stoppers to a certain extent, and are therefore eliminated. Not to say that there aren't benefits to it. Reading the Yahoo piece, it's pretty clear the sense of responsibility for one's work has grown significantly across that entire team. They don't necessarily talk about all of the problems that they've dealt with, and they themselves talk about how long it took to get to that point, I think a year and a half or 2 years. But what does that mean that in a certain organization, those sort of discussions are happening?
That's a great point, Yaron. One thing we should link to is the old Elizabeth Hendrickson piece, More Testers, Lower Quality? I think she did a presentation on it 10 years ago. And her point was developers are under pressure to deliver, new organization. Maybe they come out with version 2.0 and it's got a ton of regression bugs because they don't have a test practice. So they create a test practice. They hire a bunch of testers. And it's the tester's job to do the testing. The developers are under intense pressure to meet deadlines. So what do? They do bad work and they throw it over the wall to the testers. Is one of the sort of classic examples that I have seen where testers are a safety net. I think that's good. But in that case, it's more like, great, since now we have a safety net, we can take ridiculous risks. And that sets up this separation between your work is good. That sets us up for why didn't QA find that bug? Well, wait a minute, why was the bug created?
There are slogans out there that encourage this mindset, the whole go fast, break things mantra.
I don't have a problem with go fast and break things. If you've got all of the continuous delivery pieces in place and your customers are getting your software for free.
And I'm not sure they mean break things in production too often.
Valid point.
Yeah, I read Sauce Labs was down like yesterday. For something like 24 hours, Sauce Labs was down. There are companies that rely on that to run all their Selenium tests. But again, that's software companies are paying for.
I think a lot of this also comes down to the idea of what is being provided and what is the level of expectation. There is a continuum. I think sometimes we're guilty of looking at software as though it's a zero or one type thing, to borrow the metaphor. Not all software is developed the same. Not all software serves the same purpose. And not all software has the same level of expectation. We all have something. It needs to meet some need. Otherwise, we go and do something else. But because of that, it's often the false dichotomy of, are we playing a video game or are we developing a pacemaker? That has a huge impact on my or somebody else's life. You're not going to test those things the same. And I think it's important that we understand the rhetoric behind that, too. And sometimes I think we get a little bit overwrought with it as, what is our purpose? Is our purpose that we are the last person on the field to make sure that bug does not go out into production because what?
Well, speaking of those questions, I think those are great questions. One of the things that I suspected when I read this piece was they didn't have an answer to those questions. And they didn't have anyone, this is my suspicion, I could be wrong, but there wasn't anyone speaking to the executive level about the value that they were providing. Test was not a trusted advisor. Test was not providing information to help people make decisions. Because if they were, I suspect the conversation around how do we change to go move faster, would have been very different. Yaron will point out that there's a lot more going on here than just that. They were using testing practices that were 20 years out of date, and they were developing in big batches and had regression test everything. And maybe part of that was just that the programmers were writing too many bugs and not taking personal responsibility for their work. In any event, I think that one thing we could talk about for our main topic is that trusted advisor role something testers should have? And if it is, how do we pursue it? Because testing is, in my experience in large organizations, continually being reframed as low value. How do we do it cheaper? How do we do it faster? Common complaint is we're not invited in the room for the decisions. Should testers be doing something about that? And if so, what?
As someone that sells testing for a living, I can tell you that becoming that trusted advisor is one of our main goals. The quality test mission is to become our customers' trusted advisors in that space. And trust is earned. Trust is not something that is demanded or regulated or so on. It's something that is earned. I would ask myself if I was working at a place where that was neither the case nor had the potential to ever become a reality. Frankly, I would ask myself if I wanted to stay in that place, because I can tell you, having a very broad view of the industry, that while you're right, there is a drive to commoditize and cost save and so on, there is a parallel drive to do more and more testing and still have testing be part of the SDLC in areas of enabling time to market rather than standing in the way of it, in delighting our users and making sure that they get exactly what they want, and managing risk. So there's trends and counter trends, I would say.
Yeah, I think actually getting to the role of being the trusted advisor, even if you like seek out testing knowledge, it's hard to find information about how to do that. If you're from the traditional school, you talk in terms of test cases, what's done and what's not done. That doesn't really give people information. And intuitively, I think they figure that out eventually. Or if you're a software testing geek, you start talking in terms of oracles and heuristics and social science and measurement and things like that. And then the people...
Yawn. I just fell asleep listening to Justin. Just kidding. But you know, social science, measurement, oracles, and heuristics. Let's talk about things that people understand even less.
That's my point. The executives aren't looking for that stuff. They want information about how we're impacting the business right now.
I totally hear you, and I agree with you. I was just trying to amplify that, make sure the audience got it. My experience has been that executives want to talk about money. How does this impact money? Mid-level managers tend to talk about process. How many test cases did we run yesterday, and how many test cases are left, and how can we predict when we're going to be done? And technical people tend to talk about things. Being able to actually speak at the level of the person you're talking to adjust your message is a really powerful way to do it. In a meeting with an executive, if we say, well, am I going to hit my date, right? Or what's we lose $1 million a week every week that this thing doesn't go out. Okay, well, we can get it to here, which would earn you this much money, by skipping these 7 steps, which have these risks. And now we get it to a one-paragraph soundbite. I've had a lot of success with that. But the next challenge is you have to be in the room to be able to say that. So you kind of have to work your way through middle management. When your value starts to be questioned and people don't understand it, and your response is something like, well, of course we need to manage the test data with heuristics and oracles, that's not good.
I think that pretty much sums it up. For us to be trusted, it's the Covey line, seek first to understand, then to be understood. If we're so focused on trying to just get our point across, we're not going to reach that point of being trusted, because really, we're just there to hear ourselves talk. And so it's really critical that we take the time to say, what is it that our customer needs? And are we actually meeting that? And be brave enough to say, if we're not meeting it, what do we need to do so that we can? And sometimes that conversation is going to be difficult. And it might actually mean I have to completely relearn how to communicate with my teams or with my upper management, or I may need to take on a totally different level of responsibility than what I have. And it may not be classic testing as I'm used to doing it.
You know, we're talking pretty abstractly. It'd probably be good if I gave a couple of real examples. It's common for me to come into an organization that is convinced that testing is late or behind. one way to get people's attention is to help solve problems and actually make commitments. So if you say, this will take me 2 weeks, and you get it done in over a month, and then you say, it'll take me 3 weeks, and you get it done in a month and a half, that's a great way to lose any influence you had. We can do an analysis and say, these are the reasons that testing is taking so long. It's actually set up. One company I worked with recently, 90% of a tester's time was set up. So if you did the math, if he had a tool so he could do the setup scripted, we would immediately stop being the bottleneck. We can also measure the process and say, yes, testing is the bottleneck by this much. Or it's not that testing is the bottleneck, it's just testing is at the end. So if we could find a way to dribble workout, or regression testing is taking us 2 weeks, is pretty common. We want to deploy once a month. That's half of our time we're spending regression testing, and the developer's sitting around waiting for bug fix notes. We could get that down to a week, and then we could do this, and then we could do that. So once we've tightened up testing so that it's not really conceived as a problem, but it's got the same throughput as everything else, it happens concurrently with everything else, then we can use those same tools to analyze the rest of the process. And now we're talking about, gee, we have this many bugs pop out of development. We think we can cut that number in half by whatever prevention technique we want to put in place. If we prevent that, we're going to save this much time of find, fix, retest. Now we're talking in terms of time and money. We're going to improve velocity. We're going to get to market faster. Now we can get someone's attention because we're speaking their language. Make and keep commitments, get testing not the bottleneck, be able to quantify the potential of the improvement, I think are three ways to walk in the right direction.
Everything that you guys are saying can be summarized as align with the business. Understand what the business wants. The business is sometimes represented by end users, sometimes represented by your manager or your manager's manager or CIO or business analysts or different people, whether from a business process or from what the company actually does and how it even makes its money. Understand what keeps your boss and your boss's boss up at night, and make sure that whatever you're proposing aligns with them. It doesn't mean throw away all the important good stuff you're doing. Learn their language and talk to them in their language and be aligned with what the organization is ultimately trying to do. That's my first point. And my second point, some people may read this and, you know, every few years, I hear Matt asking, is this the end of testing? Are we all out of business? Who cares? We're all going to be outsourced into oblivion. And I think that the reality is, and the trends are, that that's not the case. The opposite is in reality the case. Not only are we seeing that the entire industry is growing at about 7 or 8%, industry being the testing industry, which is faster than the tech industry, independent testing is growing at about 15 to 16%. So the expertise in testing is being appreciated more and more these days. I think that is great news. You know, a few years there was Agile. Now there's DevOps. There are changes and we always need to adjust. But ultimately, I see DevOps, continuous integration, continuous release type trends as a net positive.
There's certainly a technology enabler. I agree. There's a book by Andy Grove called Only the Paranoid Survive. I think that these kind of is testing going away questions are encouraging us to keep reinventing ourselves and stay relevant. But thank you for the gentle reminder, Yaron. I really appreciate it. And there's more testing conferences than ever before. They're having higher attendance than ever before. I think you're dead set on right that the industry is growing. It's just changing. Thanks, everybody. It's been a great show. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you for listening to The Testing Show, sponsored by Qualitest. For more information, please see www.qualitestgroup.com. Do you have questions? Or is there a topic or an idea you'd like to have covered? Please email us at thetestingshow@qualitestgroup.com, and we will answer questions we receive on air.